You know, during this quarantine, we've all felt different emotions, whether it's fear or anxiety or depression or loneliness or frustration. But I thought of another emotion this past week that hasn't gotten a lot of press, and yet it is one that moms are especially susceptible to. I'm talking about guilt. Paula Spencer wrote in her book on parenting, "Guilt is the pesky little monkey that rides on every mother's back. No matter what our choices, it whispers in our ears, not doing enough, not doing it well enough, not doing it right." And I'll tell you, if you tend to be hard on yourself, the stay-at-home order has certainly not helped. You may be working harder than ever, and yet you're feeling worse about yourself than ever, because you haven't been the kind of homeschooling teacher that you'd like to be. And you're not such an amazing multitasker that you can work from home and take care of a toddler at the same time. And sometimes your efforts at keeping your kids entertained have consisted of a subscription to Disney Plus and a lot of fishy crackers. And whatever spiritual goals you have set have been eclipsed by urgencies or sheer exhaustion. And odds are you've not become more beautiful in the last 2 months. Have you seen this meme? Due to the coronavirus, we are just 3 weeks away from knowing everyone's true hair color. I heard someone say that the 19 in COVID-19 stands for the 19 pounds everyone has gained. I mean, even celebrities look awful these days. Whatever expectations you have set for yourself, I'll bet that you have not exceeded them. And now you've got a guilt monkey on your back. But what if that monkey is a liar? What if the way God sees you is completely different than how you see yourself? Here's what I want to do today. I want to help you to replace self-talk with the voice of God. Even if just for a day, as a Mother's Day gift to yourself, I want to encourage you moms, actually all women, and yes, even you men who are sitting there thinking you're going to have to sit through a sermon that's going to feel like a chick flick, I want to tell every follower of Jesus Christ who is listening to my voice how God feels about you. And if you're not yet a Christian, I want to show you how God's feelings toward you will change when you decide to follow Jesus. Here's a verse in the Bible that gives us a starting point. 1 John 3:1, which says to Christians, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are. Now, this passage doesn't tell us what God feels toward us. It just tells us who He is to us and who we are to Him. He's not just our Creator or our judge. He is also our Father, and we are His children. If you're a mother or a father, let me ask you this. When you think of your kids, what do you feel? I mean, if you could get them out of their own heads and make them feel about themselves what you feel about them, how would their self-image change? Do you realize that what you feel toward your children, God feels toward His children? And that means, ladies, that He does not evaluate you on the basis of your performance as a mother, but with a father's affection for his daughter. So if you could hear His voice today, here are some things that He would say to you. First, "I love you as much as I love Jesus." Try to let that sink in. Jesus Himself said it when He was praying on the night before He died in John 17. Remember, He prayed for us. He said to God the Father, "I am in them." That is, Jesus is in us, and you, Father, are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Have you ever really absorbed that last phrase before? God loves you as much as He loves Jesus. Why? Well, one reason why is because you're just as much His child as Jesus is. Let me ask you, do you love one of your kids more than the others? Now, despite their differences in intelligence, athleticism, temperament, physical appearance, whatever, You love every one of your kids just as intensely as you love the others, right? And they know it, even at a young age. That's why when they want something from you, they say, "You love so-and-so more than me." They know that if they can make you think that you have been less loving toward them than to their siblings, they can get anything from you. But it doesn't work, because you know you love all of your kids equally. If you're at least as old as me, you probably remember Billy Carter, the beer-drinking, pot-bellied brother of President Jimmy Carter. On the day of Jimmy Carter's inauguration, a reporter asked his mother, "Miss Lillian, are you proud of your son?" And she said, "Which one?" Obviously, Jimmy had a lot more going for him than Billy did, but their mother loved them equally. Jesus definitely has more going for him than you do, but God loves you as much as he loves Jesus. And he so wants that truth to lodge itself in your heart. The Apostle Paul said to his Christian friends, "May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love really is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is so great you will never fully understand it." That's God's word to those of us who feel that we have forfeited his perfect love because of our imperfect performance. No, parents don't base love on performance. You don't, and God doesn't. He loves you as much as he loves Jesus. And if that's hard to imagine, you're going to really struggle to believe the second thing God wants to say to you, which is this: "I am proud of you." It's not that he loves you despite his disapproval of you. No, when he looks at you, he beams with pride, because he doesn't see what you see when you look in the mirror. He's blind to your flaws. He only sees your virtues. Well, actually, what he sees is Christ's virtues, which became yours at the moment you believed in him. Look at this verse from 2 Corinthians 5, which describes what happened to us when we put our faith in Jesus. God took the sinless Christ and poured into him our sins. Maybe you already knew that, but did you know that in exchange, he poured God's goodness into us? Not only have all of our liabilities been taken away, we've been given all of Christ's assets. And so now, instead of seeing our failures, God looks at us and sees Christ's perfection. Colossians 1:22 says that we are holy in his sight, without blemish, and free from accusation. You may say, "Well, that's my position in Christ, but that's not God's real opinion of me." Wrong. God's opinion of you is based on your position in Christ, not on your performance. He is genuinely proud of you. He's as proud of you as you are of your kids. Tell me that you don't minimize your children's imperfections and magnify their virtues. I mean, we all think that our kids are the standard by which all other children should be measured. From the moment our kids are born, we think, "How did I get the most beautiful child in the world? I mean, what are the odds of it?" But there he is. Parents simply cannot be objective in their evaluation of their own kids. They think they can. I mean, I've heard lots of parents say, "My son's the best athlete on that team," or "My daughter sings like an angel." And then they'll add this: "And I'm not just saying that because it's my kid." No, you are. You can't be objective. No parent can. Not even God. Twice during Jesus' ministry, God shouted from heaven, "This is my own dear son with whom I am pleased." That's what he says about you. "This is my son. This is my daughter. With him, with her, I'm pleased." And there's one more thing that God says to all of his children through Scripture. He says, "Nothing you do could make me stop loving you." Have your kids ever done things that disappointed you? Did it make you stop loving them? No, nothing could do that. The love that parents have for their children, it's unquenchable. The Apostle Paul said that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, not a coronavirus, not a messy house, not putting your children in front of the TV from lunch until dinner, not failing to provide your husband with a hot meal after working all day, not losing your temper with your teenager, not being too tired to read your Bible and pray, nothing in all creation will be able to separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You're secure in His love. Nothing can quench it. Michael W. Smith sings a song to Jesus with these lyrics. I have been unfaithful. I've been unworthy. I've been unrighteous. And I've been unmerciful. I've been unreachable. I've been unteachable. I've been unwilling. And I have been undesirable. Sometimes I've been unwise. I've been undone by what I'm unsure of. But because of you and all that you went through, I know that I have never been unloved. How true that is. Nothing you do could ever extinguish God's love for you. Honestly, my instinct on Mother's Day is to remind you moms of all the things that you are doing right. And no doubt the list is long right now. But I think what God wants to say to you and to all of us today is that even when you don't do everything right, even when you feel like you're doing everything wrong, He still loves you as much as you love your kids. His opinion of you, His affection for you, is not based on your performance, but on your union with Jesus Christ. He just wants to wrap you up in His arms and say, I love you. I'm proud of you. I'll never let go of you. Isn't it great to be a child of God? That's what you are, if you believe in Jesus. The Gospel of John says, to all who received Jesus, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Notice, we're not born into God's family. We're adopted into His family when we put our faith in Christ. Actually, we're born separated from God. And the more that we sin, the further away from Him we drift. The Bible says, all have sinned and fall short of God's glorious standard. And it says the wages of sin is death. I think most of us know that we have sinned, and we try to compensate for the things that we have done wrong by doing more things right. I mean, we come to church or we watch it online. We go through religious rituals. We give to charity. We try to be good parents. We strive to earn God's acceptance. What He wants us to know is that we don't have to earn it. We can't earn it. Jesus made us acceptable to God when He died for our sins on the cross. That's where God punished Jesus for everything we have done wrong. 3 days after He died, Jesus came back from the dead, and now He says to each one of us, no matter what our past, if you just turn around and believe in Me, you will become a child of God. Your judge will become your father, and He will love you with an everlasting love. Have you ever before made the decision to receive Christ? If not, you can do it right now. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. And if you have never before said to Jesus, I believe in you, just tell Him right now that you do. Ask Him to come into your heart to cleanse you of sin and to make you the kind of person that God created you to be. If you pray that prayer in faith, He will answer it. Father, we do have faith right now that You love us because we are Your children. We know that the reason why we are Your children is because of what Jesus has done for us. And sometimes we do not fully appreciate the way that that has changed our relationship with You. But may this be a day, and may this be a week, when we are able to live guilt-free because we know that in Your eyes, we're just like Jesus. May all of us experience that this week. And would You use us to help others see how different their life would be if they could only receive your grace as we have. In Jesus' name, amen.